Hey everybody, welcome to a mini episode of How Did This Get Made? We got a lot of good stuff coming up for you today. Oh man, oh man. I love it. I love these mini episodes. They're getting better, bigger every week, thanks to you guys and all the things that you're adding to our Earwolf message boards, Facebook pages, everything that we got out there, you guys are responding to. And just a brand new announcement, we have an official Twitter now. That's right, an official Twitter. It's at HDTGM. It always takes me just a little bit of time, but it's How Did This Get Made? The initials. I hope I just said them right. If I said them wrong, please don't send me a million emails. Say, yeah, you said it wrong. But that's it. It's the initials of How Did This Get Made? It's this at HDTGM. Follow us there. We'll follow you back. We have a nice rapport going on with everybody, and we really appreciate you guys jumping onto that real quick. Okay, this is how it works. Mini episodes. We tell you what's coming up. We have some games. We have some fan-created songs to play for you. Let's get into it. Here we go. So I have a question for you all. What happens when you combine the precise nature of gymnastics with the killing power of karate? Oh, you get Gymkata. Gymkata is our next movie. Have you never heard of Gymkata? Oh, it's just a 1985 movie about a karate gymnastics guy who goes around kicking people's ass. Guys, this movie is amazing, but don't take it from me. Listen to the deep-throated trailer man's voice.
His name? Kurt Thomas. His title? Three-time world gymnastics champion. His assignment? A secret mission for the United States government. His only weapon, himself. And that's all he needs. Combine the discipline, the timing, and the power of gymnastics with the explosive force of karate, and a new, all-powerful martial art is born. Gymkata. Kurt Thomas becomes Jonathan Cabot. He must penetrate a mountain fortress to compete in an ancient savage ritual. They call it the game. But nobody wins. And nobody lives. Until now. When gymnastics and karate are fused, the combustion becomes an explosion, and a new kind of martial arts superhero is born, Gymkata.
Oh, please just tell me that you jizzed in your pants. Ladies, have you jizzed in your pants? Because you should. I know that every dude has jizzed in their pants. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for saying that to you, ladies. But you probably did just in your pants. Okay, Gymkata is amazing. This is not a fake movie. It's a real movie starring Kurt Thomas, Tetsuya Abagani, and Richard Norton. Your question probably to me besides why is it streaming? And I say it kind of is streaming. You can pick this movie up for rental on the old Amazon rental. You can do it on iTunes. You can do it on Vudu. You can do it on the Sony Entertainment Network. I don't even know what that is. But you can do it. You can also buy it with points on the Xbox 360. So it's out there. You can go definitely find it. And that is actually our live movie that we're doing at Largo. I know a lot of you have been wondering, what's the live movie going to be? The live movie is going to be Gymkata at Largo. It is sold out. But if you get there, there might be extra tickets. I don't know. I'm saying that out of my ass. I have no reason to believe that there are extra tickets, but maybe there will be. Okay. Here's how the things work on this show. When we talk about a movie of such importance like Croc 3, Croc in Los Angeles, I am, of course, referring to Crocodile Dundee, not just a regular Croc. Sometimes there are things that we forget. Sometimes there are omissions, and there is always those. So we are now into the section of the mini episode called Corrections and Omissions. I got a great email from Robert Elder. He is a writer for the Chicago Tribune, and he said listening to the podcast kind of made him recall an interview that he actually had with Paul Hogan, and he highlighted this one section, and it's worth a read here. Question. This is Robert Elder doing the question. You wrote the first Crocodile Dundee films, and Matthew Barry and Eric Abrams are credited with writing Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. Not really a question, Robert. I'm going to say you put that in a Q format, a Q&A format, but not a question. But you know what? I read the rest of the article. You're a damn fine writer. And here's Paul Hogan's response. I'm not going to do an Australian accent because I respect you too much, respect your time and your patience for me to go, all right, mate. That's not Australian. Okay, here we go. This is Paul Hogan. I wrote the screenplay. Although I'm not credited, it was a Writers Guild ruling against the producer, me. Being the producer, the natural enemy of the writer. They decided in their wisdom, I didn't write it. I co-wrote the plot, then I wrote a screenplay, which was the movie we shot. Even though I wrote all the dialogue and invented the characters and wrote the jokes, they ruled that I didn't alter the plot by more than 50%. Therefore, I didn't get a credit. It's odd not to be credited with writing something that's based on your own personal experiences. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up. Wait a second. Is he saying that Crocodile Dundee is based on his life? Is he really Crocodile? I thought this is a character. It's like Sacha Baron Cohen going like, Borat is based on my life journeys. This is ridiculous. Paul, you could have been a third part of this. You pissed it all away. Wow. Why is he so vicious about these guys? And why would he want to take credit? He's seen the final cut. He must have thought, like, oh, these stupid Americans, they'll buy anything. Fucking dum-dums. Now get me a Falstaff. Again, guys, I don't give that accent out for anyone. I'm doing that special for you guys. And here is another correction and omission from Johnny Pomato. Johnny Pomato, great name. Probably the best name we've ever had. Give it up for Johnny Pomato. He writes in that the box office was not substantial at all, only made $25 million. And many people say that the $7.5 million it made on its opening weekend was due to the fact that it was opening opposite Freddy Got Fingered and kids were buying tickets to Crocodile Dundee and sneaking into Freddy instead. Oh, man. Who won in that? No one. Everyone lost. You were like, I'm gonna buy a movie for this kid's ticket for this kid's movie, and then I'm gonna go see this other movie. Oh, maybe we should have seen Crocodile Dundee. Then you go there. Oh, it's like getting punched in the balls twice, but before you've recovered from the first punch, getting just hit even harder. I think that we need a corrections and omissions theme. Why do I think that? Because last week on the actual episode, we asked for a theme for second opinions, and you guys delivered wholeheartedly. So if you want to come up with your theme to corrections and omissions, let's have it. Have at it. Look, we'll play it. You guys can put some energy behind it. We'll play it. But enough about me talking about the themes that you guys submitted. Let's take a listen to the themes created by Jason's very quickly sung together second opinions theme. Here we go. Clip one. Second opinions. I like it. Very good. Clip two. Ooh, much more driving. I'm surprised no one did a cover. No one did like an Adele-style cover, like really got into it. We're going to keep on taking these song submissions. They're fun. And as long as you don't say anything racist in them, I think we're all cool to do it. Okay, finally, we were just looking through some old reviews of Crocodile Dundee 3 before we kind of go on to the rest of the episode. And man, people were rough on this movie. Really, really rough. Let me just give you a couple of the bite-sized pieces here. Okay, Leah Rosen from People Magazine just goes, blunder from down under. Andy Richardson from Sight and Sound. We all know Andy. He says, there is just a feeling of terminal blandness running through this film. That is actually a very astute and well-written point. And finally, Lisa Schwartzbaum, our favorite, Lisa Schwartzbaum from EW. I've read many of her reviews. She writes, just digs right into Paul Hogan himself. Goes, he is a walking public service announcement for the importance of sunblock. Oh, man. All of them were opinions that were given out very harshly to Paul Hogan and the production team at Crocodile Dundee 3. Okay, here is the thing. This is what I want to talk to you guys about. Last week, we did the movie title game. Now, I know that we did not invent this game. That was not our intention to trick you in any way. I was only explaining the game. I thought it would be fun to do a game like this. We maybe will put our own spin on it. But that's the thing. We didn't invent this game. We're not trying to do our 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. This is not our, we're not hanging our hat on this. It's not our jump the shark. We're not writing a book called Movie Title Game. But we want to play something with you guys. And last week we gave you the title Hot Potato. All you needed to do was come up with a synopsis of this movie, Hot Potato. So, here we go. This is the movie synopsis that got the most votes. This is not the actual movie synopsis, but what you guys came up with. It got 86 votes on our Facebook page. This is from Andre Cartwright. Hot Potato is a story about a problem child whose antics keep him in and out of foster homes and orphanages, and he tests his social worker who won't give up because he identifies with the boy, Hot Potato. It's good. I thought Hot Potato, to me, would be more comedic. I like that this is more of an Academy Awards picture. This is maybe something with, you know, maybe Barbara Streisand returns in this. I like it. Or maybe, oh, how about Nick Nolte as the guy, the social worker? I like that a lot. Okay. Emily Merrick got second place. John Perry, third place. And a dude named Consumer got fifth place. You can read all of their synopses on our Facebook page. Just look it up there. The real synopsis actually got fourth place, and you guys voted. So this is it. So this is what the actual Hot Potato movie is about. A hot action flick about the rescue of a senator's daughter by black belt karate experts. What? I want to see that movie. Makes Gymkhana look like a piece of shit. This film is from 1976, and according to Wikipedia, bridged the gap between blaxploitation films and kung fu films, both popular in the 70s. Well, I love that the real synopsis got fourth place, and Andre Cartwright's brilliant, dramatic version of Hot Potato came in number one. Andre, you'll get something from us, potentially. I don't know what. Also, just a big shout out to E.S. Olsen, who drew this amazing picture. You can check that out on our Facebook page as well. If you want to send in drawings of the movies, just like E.S. did, they can do that too. And we'll upload the good ones into a Facebook album. It could open up a whole new can of worms, all right? A whole bunch of dirty pictures. Guys, keep it clean. I said again weird, but I'm not going to go back and edit it because I respect you. I've already said that. That's why I didn't do my Australian accent. Okay, here we go. This is the final part of the episode here. The good old Q&As. You ask Qs, I give you As. Let's get into it. This one is from Tyler Molterano. Butchered that name. I butcher every name. I just don't call people by their first names. He writes, how long do I have to keep this in place? Tyler, you need to keep it in place, okay? First of all, I respect the fact that you're a dog. Your dog who is typing on the computer and you got one of those cones around your neck, right? So I don't want to belittle the fact that you're an amazing dog who can type on a computer. But I also want to tell you that you don't know everything about doctoring because you're a dog. You need to keep it on because you keep on licking your junk. You keep on licking the stitches. You're going to get those stitches out. Now, you were neutered. It's only because we can't have puppies. Your parents can't have puppies. So, Tyler, I know your real name is Baxter. Tyler, just keep it on there till your owners take it off. The next question is from Lel David Cardoza. You've been distant lately. Should we take a break? Look, Lel, I told you this is my job. Do not come to my job and talk to me about this. I have been distant. I've been distant. It's the summer. I'm trying to have fun. I'm trying to live my life like Robin Thicke in that video for Blurred Lines, the R-rated version, of course. Okay? We are not exclusive. Do you hear me? We're not exclusive. Back in September, when I get my winter jacket on and I put on some weight, because I'm not being as much active, we'll get back together. We'll watch the last couple episodes of Breaking Bad. We'll forget about this. So just chill. Next question. Benjamin Gillard writes, does my dog miss me when I'm gone? Well, Benjamin, no. He's too busy writing questions to me on Facebook. Sorry. He's a very active social media. Meteor. All right. Cody Brockle writes, how did I get this scar? Cody, dude, you sound like a fucking badass. Cody Brockle. Probably got it from like skateboarding with a machine gun, taking down some like Nazi surf punk movement. Cause that's what Cody does. Cody Brockle, action star. Cody Brockle, star of Hot Potato. This is from Alexander Adrock. Why is my dog such an asshole? Wow, a lot of dog questions. I did not mean to hit that thematically at all this week. Your dog's an asshole, sir, because you treat it too well. You give him too many toys. Yeah, I'm sick and tired of these dog questions. Enough with these dog questions. Your dog is an asshole because you're focusing too much on him. Ask a question about yourself, Alexander. Look inside. Look in about yourself. What do you need answered? Forget about this dog. Let's see here. From Neil Silveria, what is the appropriate placement for a tie clip? The garbage. Be a man and wear a real tie. You're not 13. It's not your bar mitzvah. Grow up. Wow. That was a real attack. I feel attacked. It wasn't even a question. You asked a question and then you answered it. You cued and aided me on something that I don't know. Is a tie clip really that big of a deal? I don't wear a tie clip. If you guys wear tie clips, just go to Neil Silveri's house and just beat the fuck out of him. Just be like, fuck it. You don't like tie clips? How do I keep the little tie behind the big tie in place? It goes out. I need to look uniform. So that's that. Guys, NTSF SDSUV is still on. It will be on for a couple more weeks. I would urge you to check out that and Children's Hospital every Thursday night at midnight. Watch them back to back. Set your DVRs. That's NTSF SDSUV. You can't really miss it because that's only show on television that has that many consonants. If you just put a bunch of consonants into your DVR, you will find it. And thank you for watching if you have been watching. So that is all. That's all I got to say about that. Which is that. Buy a How Did This Get Made t-shirt. We'll see you next week at the show, unless we see you at Largo after the show. We'll be there. Get your questions ready because we come to you in the audience. If you are in the live audience, get your Gymkhana questions ready. A big, big thank you to my new ally in the mini episodes, Sonia Weiser, who puts this whole thing together. She helps me out a ton. Give it up for her. She's out there on the social media landscape talking to you, along with a bunch of amazing people out there. And you'll hear their names in the next couple episodes. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. See you. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.